Okay, this coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Terumah. And of course, Parshas Terumah begins with a request for Moshe Rabbeinu to collect the objects necessary to go ahead and build a Mikdash. As Hashem tells Moshe, Be'asu li Mikdash, and Be'shachanti b'socham, you will make me a Mikdash, and I will dwell among you. And of course, Rashi comments, B'leif kolechad be'echad mehem, but surprisingly, that is not the focus that I'd like to focus upon today. The pasuk then continues, "Kechol asher ani v'mareh uscha." It says, "Going to be the way I show it to you." Estabnis haMishkan veEstabnis kol kelav. The setup of the Mishkan and of all of its kelim v'chein tasu. And this is what you should do. To which Rashi adds, "V'chein tasu l'doros." This is what you shall do in future generations. And now it sounds as if Rashi is trying to tell us that after the Mishkan is over, after the Beis Batei Mikdash are destroyed, V'chein Tasu continues to be applicable today. So surprising when you think about it, because in today's time, so many people assume Parshios Bereishis up until Parshas Terumah, those things that have to be taught, some of Sefer Vayikra, but Terumah, Tetzaveh, Vayakel, and Pekudeh seem almost like redundant or unnecessary in that there is no Mishkan today. So what does it mean, V'chein Tasu L'doros? How is the rules of the Mishkan applicable ad Hayom Hazeh? So the late great Rav Shaul Yisraeli, the Rosh Yeshiva Merkaz Harav, he once commented, Zatzal, that in today's times, one needs to go ahead and make a Mikdash in his home with a beautiful table that has korbanos that are going to be kosher. And no expense should be spared in that regard. Every person has a responsibility to v'chein tasu, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to make sure that no matter what happens, that is what he should do. It's quite reminiscent of the comments of Rav Shimon Schwab, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who in the introduction to his commentary on the Siddur, Iyun Tfila, also translated by Artscroll, is Rav Schwab on Prayer, points out that basically that's what we do every single day when we daven. We are making a mikdash out of our own process. This is what Rav Huttner wrote about when he spoke about the famous poem, Bilvavi Mishkan Evne, that I will do it inside my heart. And each and every morning we respond with 15 birchos hashachar that correspond to the 15 brachos that we make in the morning. And a psuki de zimra, which corresponds to the entranceway into the Beis HaMikdash. And the birchos yotzer vori choshach, which respond to the kelim and the kodesh. And the entrance into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which he compares to Kriya Shema, because that is where one is Mekabel O Malchus Shemayim, and the speaking to the Shechina, which we do in our Shemona Esrei. Everything is applicable Ad Hayom, even if not in its fullest form. There needs to be a V'chein Tasu L'doros, so suggests Rav Shaul Yisraeli, so suggests Rav Shimon Schwab, so must we suggest to one another each and every day of our lives. And then we're told that the essence of the Mishkan is V'yasu Aron Atzei Shitim, that the purpose in building a Mishkan is to make an Aron Kodesh, that there needs to be an Aron. And of course, we're also told V'yasisa Shnayim Kruvim, you should make two Kruvim. Now, we use the term Shnayim Kruvim instead of the more common Shnei Kruvim. Why is it Shnayim? So Rav Chanoch Henoch Erentrau, the author of the Komitz HaMincha, the former Rav of Munich, explains that each one of the Kruvim symbolizes something different and unique. In this case, it was a symbol of the two types who protect the Torah. The one type Rav Erentrau describes as the Tovsei HaTorah, and the other one is the Machzikei HaTorah. The ones are the ones who literally grab the Torah, and the others are the ones who uphold the Torah. Now, those who are Machzik Torah provide the cover for those who study it, the Tovsei HaTorah, and both to protect the Torah equally, albeit somewhat differently. They have to have an ability to see eye to eye. They have to have the mutual respect for the job their partner engages in if they're going to work together to support the ultimate goal, that of Torah support. How often does it happen that the B'nai HaYeshivos sometimes look disdainfully down at those who are the Machzikei HaTorah, those who have the opportunity to support Torah? How often does it happen that those who have the ability to be the Tosei HaTorah look down at those who are the Tosei HaTorah, those who are involved in the day-to-day in-depth study of Torah? It doesn't work that way.
True Torah processing requires Shnayim Kruvim. Nobody is greater than the other one. They're two different elements working on the same job. Maybe that's one of the lessons we learned from the Krushim at the end of the parasha as well. That's something that, unfortunately, in today's times, we need to spend more time understanding. Not how the other person is doing it wrong, but how we're both focused on the same goal and we're both there to support it. Something to think about. Then we're told, V'no'adati eilecha sham, v'dibarti itcha me'ala kaporas, that God says, I'm going to appear to you there and speak to you from on top of the kaporas. And the Ramban explains that at the beginning of our Sedra, that the whole purpose in creating the Mishkan was in order to create an Aron, and in order to have that Aron, that would have, the building would have the same power as an extraordinary experience on Har Sinai. In other words, every single day, that we had the Mishkan was an opportunity to have a recreation of Maimad Har Sinai. Now, why was that necessary? Why would there be a need to have the same experience of Maimad Har Sinai with the people every single day? Doesn't it take away from Maimad Har Sinai in the process? So Rav El Yisvei, Zechad Tzadik Livracha, suggested that the purpose of Matan Torah was not that it be a single event in the annals of history, but rather that it repeat itself every day of our lives. The Medrash notes that the Torah and the one who gave the Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, go together wherever the Torah is. That means to say that Torah keeps being given every single day. Then no Sein HaTorah comes with the Torah itself. The entirety of physical structures, indeed the entirety of the physical universe, which is what the Mishkan is supposed to symbolize, is so that there be a place to hold on to, a meeting place for the one who gives the Torah and the Torah's giving. The two are inseparable. Says Rav Elia, today in the absence of the place, the only way we have our way of interacting with the no Sein HaTorah is within the Dalet Amos of Halacha. And so therefore, we create our Mishkan, going back to the first idea that we started with. Rav Elia points out that here too, this becomes a major issue, that we need to understand that there has to be a place of vinoadity, where I make myself known, and that place is when we have the Dalet Amos Shel Halacha, and that's something to consider every day of our lives. And then we're told, V'yasisas HaMenorah, we're told you should make a menorah. And Rashi tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu had a very hard time making the menorah. And why was the menorah specifically the kli that he had a hard time with? Moreover, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to have to make it in the end, why bother giving the instructions to Moshe Rabbeinu in the first place? If I'm going to have to do it, why do I have to tell you V'yasisa? So Bezalel Radinsky Shlita explains that the menorah symbolizes Torah's wisdom. Hashem wanted Moshe, and by the way, parenthetically, Bnei Yisrael, to know that when one wants to be committed to Torah, then Hashem will make it possible for him to achieve, even if the natural means seem impossible. And so hence, even if Moshe couldn't get it, Hashem would bring it to him. And that's the same thing with the Torah knowledge that is symbolized by the menorah in the process. A person needs to get that in order for him to understand. Then we're told, V'yasisa krashim la-mishkan, that you have to make beams for the Mishkan. And Rashi explains that the krashim came from the cedar wood, the atzei erez that came from the cedar trees that Yaakov Avinu brought into Mitzrayim. Right? Yaakov Avinu recognized that there was going to be a galus and there was going to be a geula, and he told Bnei Yisrael he's planting these cedar trees and that when they leave, they should take it with them. And they teach us the lesson of Emunah and Bitachon that Yaakov Avinu had as he went down to Mitzrayim, that there was going to be a Geula. So one of my Rebbeim, Reb Menachem Genak Shalita, added that this cedar wood helps us understand why the building of the Mishkan is included in the Sefer HaGeula. Rabbi Genak explained to us that the building of the Mishkan demonstrated that the people had risen to the level of their forefathers and completed the Geula process started by Yaakov Avinu. Geula happens when we are able to say we have completed, we have risen to the level of our forefathers, and we have completed that which they intended for us. When Bnei Yisrael were finally able to actualize Yaakov Avinu's mission for them, they had indeed achieved Geula. That happened with the building of the Mishkan, so suggested Rabbi Genak Shalita. Finally, we're also told about the parochas, and here the role of the parochas seems to be lavil bein hakodesh ubein kodesh hakadoshim, whereas in Parshas Pekudei, when we find out that the parochas was created, it sounds as if the role of the parochas over there is to be a process of coverage for the Aron HaKodesh. Now, why is there a difference between the separation and the coverage? So, the Rav Shechter Shalita quoted to us in the name of the Mishnah Lamelech, who explains that the Rambam distinguishes in other ways as well. The Rambam points out that there are two times that there is a hazah, that there is a sprinkling of blood on Yom HaKippurim, versus the time that we sprinkle blood of other chatos pnimios. The focus is whether it's set to be opposite the Aron versus is it supposed to be on the parochas. There are different times and different places where different concerns happen to be. And Rosh Hechta Shalita pointed out that this highlights the idea of different levels of Kedusha. We don't just have a process of Lahavdil Bein HaKodesh Ubein HaChol. Sometimes we have different levels of Kedusha. We have to understand, says Rosh Hechta in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, if I'm not mistaken, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create different levels of Kedusha, to tell us that even the Chol is Kadosh, just a very low level of Kedusha. This reminds us that Melo Chol Ha'aretz Kvodo. And so by having different levels within the parochas, this also reminds us, Melo Chol Ha'aretz Kvodo. Okay. We're also told that in regard to the Mizbeach, we're told that it has to be covered in copper. And Rashi explains that the Mizbeach was covered in copper because the Mizbeach was there to atone for brazenness. So Rav Volba Zatzal asked how a Mizbeach can atone for a sin that one doesn't engage in tshuva for doing. If a person is a gas ruach, and he is not interested in doing tshuva, then how do we go ahead and achieve that tshuva for him? So Rav Volbi quotes the Shalah Kaddish, who explains that the kapara was not for the individual, but rather for the community. Because when a community shares a responsibility for the sin of the individual, the community too needs to do tshuva, and needs a kapara. So Rav Volbi added that that's the case over here as well. The kapara here is due to the collected arvos that takes the responsibility for the individual. That's what we are referring to in this context. Finally, in regard to the Haftorah, we also read, again, about a binyan, this time not of a Mishkan, but rather of Shlomo HaMelech's binyan of the Beis HaMikdash. And, of course, in the context, we are told that he made windows shkufim atumim, that he makes windows that were sort of dark on the outside and wider on the inside. And Rashi explains that this was done to show that the Beis HaMikdash didn't need the light from the outside. Of course, if that's the case, then why bother to make windows at all? Why does a Beis HaMikdash that doesn't need the light, why does it need it at all? So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, explains that if we made a building without windows, the place would look like a prison, not a bias. Making a mikdash or davening into a place with windows lets one develop a more positive disposition about the tefillah and helps with the concentration. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted there to be illumination. He wanted it to come from the inside outside, not from the outside inside. But he didn't want the mikdash to be a place that was that lacked anything that was positive. Quite the opposite. The mikdash was supposed to be the source of positivity. We, of course, seek constant opportunities where Harachamon and where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us the opportunity to experience the ultimate possibility of vinawadati, not only here in our private homes, but in the greater world at large, which will happen when we achieve that great Shabbat Shalom to all.